Hello, friend. This is Daryl Mobley with The Merry Black Show. Thank you so much for coming today. You're going to love my conversation today with Psalm Isadora. Psalm Isadora is a highly sought-after sexuality and trauma expert. She specializes in women's health and empowerment, as well as modern sexual education for adults. Psalm founded the sex coaching program Urban Kama Sutra. She blends brains with passion. She also created O Yoga, which is a combination of yoga, belly dance, and burlesque to help women unlock their inner sex goddess. Psalm has, and by the way, that psalm is in from the Bible, P-S-A-L-M. She has demystified the ancient secrets of Tantra. She makes it accessible to the masses in what she calls the yoga of sex. She is sexy, soulful, and spiritual. She has a no-nonsense approach that cuts through all the noise, all the stuff that's been holding you back, limiting your happiness, limiting your sexual success. She cuts through all of that. She helps singles get in touch with themselves and own the process, and she helps couples save their relationships. Please sit forward and get ready. Make sure you have a pen and piece of paper in front of you, because you're going to have your mind blown with my conversation on the tantric sex secrets for black women with Psalm Isadora. Are you ready? Here we go. Psalm, you tell me that black women can love their bodies, they can have the best sex in the world, they can be the sex goddesses they truly are, they can feel their worth and be treated the way they want, that they can rekindle their relationship, they can find the partner of their dreams. You tell me that black women can feel juicy and sexy and confident and irresistible, and that they can unlock their sexual potential to transform all areas of their lives. I'm excited by that, and today I'm going to ask you, and you are America's foremost expert on the ancient secrets of Tantra, I'm going to ask you some questions that get to the heart of the matter. I'm going to put you on the hot seat. This will be fast-paced. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Perfect. Let's get started. Some of my listeners are married, and some are single women. Here's a question I'm going to jump right out with so we kind of set the groundwork. You are a tantric sex expert. What does that mean, and how did you become a sex expert?
Well, you know, I became a sex expert because I started from a very opposite place around my sexuality. I grew up in a very unusual environment. I grew up on a Christian cult. And wearing a bonnet, living in a log cabin, we were trying to recreate living like the pioneers. And I wanted to be like Laura Ingalls from Little House on the Prairie. And in that environment, there was a lot of suppression around sexuality. And, you know, the idea, you know, as a girl or a woman, mm-hmm. I needed to cover my body. You know, I wore dresses from my neck to my ankles. Mm-hmm. And the idea, you know, if you wear a certain thing, you'll make men sin or make men think a certain thing. And so kind of that programming from very early on, that it was like my responsibility, how men reacted to my body, and that mm-hmm. sex was something, you know, that we didn't talk about a lot, but when we did, it seemed there was kind of that, a lot of secrecy and kind of a shame around it. Mm-hmm. And in that environment, I had sexual abuse, which is actually very common. It's not only that common, at least one in three women have had sexual abuse or sexual violence, and those are the ones who are willing to say it. In my own experience teaching courses, I would say over half the women have had sexual abuse, sexual violence of some kind. And, you know, it's also very common that happens where there's a lot of kind of, I think, that religious shaming around sexuality, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And so I had that sexual abuse and just ended up being so unhappy from that and ran away from my religious boarding school when I was 17 and left my family. And because of that, I got pregnant on purpose because I just wanted to have a family, because I just, you know, left my family and had abandonment issues. And so that kind of set up a very difficult time for me in my 20s. And I ended up using sex, using drugs, using just about anything to numb that kind of pain that I had from the trauma, and hit a rock bottom where I was in an emergency room and basically knew I'd be dead if I didn't, you know, find a different answer. And I feel like something deeper in me rose up, or God spoke to me at that moment. You know, it's like, you got to get your life together, because I wasn't going to get another shot. And what the deeper voice in me told me, and the spirit told me, was I had to go do yoga. And at the time I was like, yoga, that seems like, you know, ridiculous. I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety. I was on medication. I thought I would be for the rest of my life. And so for me, you know, to think that like putting on a pair of tight yoga pants and doing some stretches was going to help seemed really, you know, really silly for the problem that I was a broke single mom. I didn't even get the money to go and do that. But it was such a strong kind of message from spirit that I had to go do that. And that would be the tool or the bridge to help me really be more functional in life. And so I started going to yoga class. And from that first day, I'd inhaled and exhaled, and I felt a happiness in my body that I hadn't felt from all those years of trauma, where I just felt really broken and really disconnected, and just, I guess, wounded. You know, I think I had come to a place for my trauma where I just didn't expect to ever be happy. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I just didn't even enjoy being alive. And that gave me hope. And then I heard about something called Tantra. And Tantra was, you know, a way to connect my sexuality and my spirituality, was the way it was explained to me. And I remember thinking that I needed that. I really needed a way to make my sexuality sacred and to let go of the shame and the trauma from my past and heal my body and heal that trauma. So I went all the way to India to study Tantra because I couldn't find anybody teaching it in the United States in a way that made sense to me. And so I went to India for 9 years, and out into the jungles, I met my teacher. And I was just super committed, you know, because of where I came from. You know, I think I came from such an intense pain and trauma that my drive at that point then was so great. And what I really remember thinking is, you know, in that moment where I felt that connection in my body, as a woman especially, my femininity, my sensuality, my sexuality, and the sacredness of spirit, I remember thinking, if I can feel this way after so many years of feeling pain and suffering, I'm going to teach this to everyone in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's why I, you know, went to India for 9 years, and it really healed me, you know, gave me a sexual healing, which is, sexual healing is more than just a Marvin Gaye song.
What a great
very real thing, a great song and a great thing to learn how to do in your own life.
Yes.
But you know, I really, that was to me, is like, even now I wake up every morning and I'm like, if I can find a way to get this message to, you know, every woman in the world, mm-hmm. that they can, like I said, you can love your body, but in such a deep way. You know, I think that sounds like we see it everywhere. It's advertised to us, you know, oh, love your body, or oh, get better abs, or oh, get any man you want. Right. And what nobody tells us is you have to love yourself first. And as women, we're bought and sold our bodies, and we're bought and sold concepts of finding the right man or getting married. And the realness isn't there, because the realness is, if you don't love yourself and if you don't feel your own body is like a sacred temple, and you don't value your sexuality as something sacred and spiritual, you know, all that, you'll never get those things. It's always going to be empty. You're always chasing something outside yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tantra really gives you that sacred connection and union in yourself first. And that is why, you know, I'm so on fire to share it with everybody in the world.
Wow. You know, you went through not just one taboo, but a lot of taboos in what you just shared. I mean, so you were in some sort of commune thing. You were abused. You were a single mother. You know, a host of things. And perhaps the most outrageous thing you did, or you brought up, was the biggest taboo you broke through, was the sense that I can own my own body and I can own my own sexuality.
Well, isn't that funny? That of all these taboos. You know, and I think that's what's so crazy in this world, is like that, you know, we can't talk about our own bodies, and because of the taboo around sexuality, it remains this, like, you know, shadow place or just undiscovered place for so many of us. I mean, I've now that I've been on this journey, I've ended up working with, like, brain scientist at Rutgers University, and he was telling me how difficult it is to get funding to study, you know, sexuality so we can understand ourselves better. He said, you know, we've spent more time discovering the moon than, you know, we've been able to study your vagina, which we live with every day. But because of the taboo, it's very disempowering.
This is a quick break because I'd like to encourage you to get the training series, The Five Romantic Archetypes. You can find out which archetype, which of the five you are, and how you can use this knowledge to create more romance, passion, and mind-blowing sex in your life. Here's how you get it. Simply go to sex.maryblack.com. That's sex, S-E-X. I think we all know how to spell that, right? .maryblack.com, MarryBlack.com, sex.maryblack.com. Tap it into your browser, click that, you'll be taken to a page, you sign up quickly, and we'll get you this great information, special for you, our listeners. You know, what's interesting, too, and again, this came to mind as I'm taking notes here. I said, you know, regarding self-ownership, owning your sexuality, owning just your approach to how you deal with your body, women of color, you know, black women and other women of color have been hypersexualized but not allowed to own their sexual image. And what I love about, you know, my research on you and speaking to you before we began this is that you're big on owning that, taking control of it, and maximizing it based on whatever your goals happen to be.
Well, I, like you said, and it is women of color, but it is all women. I travel around the world now, and I got news, like, it's not great for women anywhere in the world around sexuality. You know, I studied Tantra in India, and the Tantra I studied had a liberation and empowerment for women sexually, but in that country, the women don't have that liberation or empowerment. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's something we've lost, I think, in the whole world. But I do know, you know, what you're speaking of, like, to be hypersexualized, but not have a connection to what feels good to yourself. So what we've done is women are hypersexualized, but taught to numb themselves from what feels good because we're taught to be ashamed of sex, and yet we're hypersexualized. Mm-hmm. Because it's like our bodies are bought and sold all the time, you know, in commercials, you know, in music videos. And I mean, I'm friends with a lot of musicians here in L.A., And you know, I talk to them about this. And I'm like, you know, these music videos, it's not a problem in and of itself, but I feel bad for 13, 14, 15-year-old teenage girls coming up now. They're, you know, they're giving more blowjobs. They're having more anal sex. They're they're doing that because they're trying to keep up and get attention from all these, you know, all the hypersexualization. And no one is saying to them, your body's precious. And you know what? It's okay. Sex is okay. Don't be ashamed about it. But at least learn how your body functions. So, again, it's interesting that even as sex is everywhere, it's done in a way that women are numb to their own bodies, their own power, and their own pleasure. And it's all done to get attention from someone outside yourself. And so I really, that's something that I think is disturbing that we have going on with teenagers now.
Yes, absolutely. As a father of girls, as well as boys, but I can tell you that you're right. That is a very big part of trying to help them move forward and be healthy mentally and physically and everything else is to try to beat back the ravages of the ads that they see in every checkout line, on TV, in music videos, in song, just in life, everything. They are a product to be sold, bought, discarded, used, if they were to fall prey to the images they see out there. So, but I love what you do because I think you're about everything but that. You're about beating that back. Let me ask you a question. How can you, all these taboos, all these tough things you went through personally, I mean, when you're sitting there, you're in the hospital, you're thinking, hey, listen, I've got the drugs in me, I don't want to go down this way, you were a single parent. How can black women, how can women break past the taboos of sex and intimacy? Again, one of the things you can share to say, here's an approach that will help a woman, because a lot of people listening now, and I'm sure they share it with you. They probably feel their sisterhood, real kinship with you. You broke past it. How can they break past those taboos?
Yeah, so I am, number one, is I work with the chakras, and so not in a real woo-woo way, but I have people, one of the first things we do, I put them in a hot seat, and I have them identify what I call your root around sexuality. So going back and remembering, what were you taught about sex? Because it's literally formed the psychology of how you live your life. It's done, you know, that imprinting very early on. And most of us were kind of taught with sex, women were taught, you know, it wasn't something that was talked about very much. Or what you were just mentioned, if your parents tried to protect you from sex, they did it by kind of subtly shaming sexuality. Mm-hmm. Or, and what that does, unfortunately, is the opposite of the people trying to help you or trying to do, usually. It creates a disempowered state. We all know, like, you know, education, being educated about anything gives you power. Most of us haven't had just the simplest sexual education. So the first thing I have them do is just identify, do you remember how your parents talked about sex? Or as a girl when you hit puberty, what were you trained about being sexual? Or, you know, how were you spoken to about that? And if there were unhealthy patternings or things that made you feel uncomfortable or shame or secrecy, just really recognizing and bringing that to the light and letting go. I think of some of that really hardly wired stuff in our own heads. And then the second part is really deciding to own your sexuality and to find that sacredness around it. That's your second chakra. Mm-hmm. So that is just pure creativity and pleasure. And if you don't learn how to do that in a healthy way, because you see a lot of people use food instead of sex, but food is orgasmic in that same way, mm-hmm. but it can become very unhealthy. So if you felt ashamed about sex or ashamed about your body, and you feel, then a lot of women just get that same pleasure that they should get from healthy sexuality in their body. They get it from eating food, or they get it from drinking, or they get it from something else, because your mm-hmm. second chakra will always need pleasure as a release mm-hmm. from daily stress. Mm-hmm. So I tell them, look at the patterns that you're doing. How are you getting, how are you using your second chakra energy? And I take them through a process of whether they're hyper or hyposexual, kind of understanding, do you have very low sexual energy and libido? Do you have very high sexual energy and libido? And then the third thing I do is bring them to their third chakra about self-esteem. So, you know, really, what pattern, what do you think you deserve? And then once you're a grown woman, what you deserve is what you're willing to give yourself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you see some unhealthy patterns in the first and the second chakra, are you actually ready to take control of your life? That's part of owning it and change those patterns. If you're dating men who don't treat you the way you want to be treated, like because you have low self-esteem or you need their approval or you have abandonment issues, are you ready to really face those things and make certain changes or not take that immediate gratification or not play the victim anymore? I mean, it doesn't mm-hmm. sound nice, but for a lot of women, we play the victim a lot and go and bitch and moan to our girlfriends about what we don't like without really ever changing anything in our habits or without even asking for what we want. Wow. You know, like if we, because what a lot of women do is they suppress what they really want, don't use their voice until they're so angry that they blow up. And yeah. then you're unreasonable, right? So then mm-hmm. nobody listens to you anyway. So around the self-esteem issue is also, I do a lot of training women around their voice mm-hmm. and connecting them back to their root and their power and learning to ask for what they want in relationships, being willing to turn away things that are unworthy. But again, not in this like, I think there's a, you know, own your sexuality and you're worth more. So wait for, you know, the guy who's really going to commit to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't come from actually having done the work to love and value yourself, you know, that either you're going to end up alone or all the right. men are going to see you're playing a game. Because mm-hmm. this isn't about, oh, all you have of value is your sexuality. This is saying you come from your sexuality, so you better find a way to love yourself and to really value that sexuality. And then if you really value your sexuality, you'll make better choices and attract better people. So there's little exercises they can do. One of the things I have them do is just some breath work. And I don't know if I can try and kind of explain it to you right now
sure.
on the radio.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's just do a little exercise. So put your hand on your low belly and right above your pubic bone
mm-hmm.
and start taking some deep breaths. Inhale, expanding your lower belly and breathing into your hips. Long, slow, deep inhale, and then long, slow, deep exhale. And again, tuning in to that shakti, or your sexual energy at the hips, second chakra of your body. Long, slow, deep inhale, kind of feel that energy expanding, your sensuality tapping back into what feels good in your body and exhale, letting go of any stress or tension. And then on an inhale, pushing the hips back and your tailbone back. And on an exhale, pulling your hips forward. And then we're just going to start to add a Kegel squeeze set. So inhale, push your hips back, and exhale as you rock your hips forward, squeeze the Kegel muscles. Inhale, push your hips back and relax the Kegel muscles. Exhale, hips forward and squeeze the Kegel muscles. Inhale, push your hips back, push the Kegels out, and then rocking forward, pull the Kegels in and up. And then just try and find a nice little rhythm of rocking your hips back and forth in time with your breath. Inhale, push the hips back, and exhale, hips come forward and squeeze the Kegel muscles. So just see if you can make your breath match the rhythm of your hips, and then every time you do the exhale, squeeze those Kegel muscles and feel that kind of sexual energy or Shakti start to move through your whole body, which we call the microcosmic orbit. So that orgasmic energy starts to move through your whole body until you feel it kind of actually expand and your energy feels bigger than your body. And you feel calm, relaxed, peaceful, juicy, and turned on. And if you do that every day for 1 to 5 minutes, then you're going to start to have more energy for your day, be more calm and peaceful, be able to express yourself more clearly and have confidence. And you'll start to actually just make this sort of magnetic and attractive energy around you. If you do this every day, I have people do it all the time. They'll people see them and be like, what'd you just do? Why are you glowing? So this really brings up that, what again we call in Tantra your Shakti, is you're in your second chakra, mm-hmm. your sexual energy. Is your Shakti is this like shining light energy that we've been taught, you know, that like we've been taught to keep that light down or dim mm-hmm. or give it away to everyone else. But really owning that in the center of yourself and feeling that light and that sensual energy just, you know, expanding outside of you and being that very attractive magnetic core of your being as a woman.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you've made a lot of people really happy with what you just said.
You know what? And you know what is amazing is it just takes a few minutes, and once you learn it, it's free. You know, that's mm-hmm. when I really discovered Tantra. I told you I come from such a place of disempowerment around my sexuality, and when I and I'd been on heavy medication and depressed and anxious. I was so depressed at one point. I was on medication, 30 pounds overweight, couldn't get out of bed to play with my son. In so much shame and so much guilt and so much unhappiness, and I thought my life could never be different. And I learned these simple breathing techniques, and I was like, I'm filled with joy to be alive. I love myself and feel life, you know, is good, and I love my body. And I said, you know, ever since I started doing Tantra, I have this like natural prayer. I say, thank you, God, for making my body, because it's beautifully and wonderfully made. And I used to hate my body. But by doing this breath work and just connecting back into my body, I realized when you get out of your head and all those like painful memories or thoughts or just restrictive things, and you get back into your body and really feel that Shakti or that sexual, sensual, feminine energy, you naturally just suddenly feel gratitude. And you actually feel how beautiful is this body? Like, I even go, wow, I can't even believe. Like, this is the body that Spirit gave me. So that I can, like, also touch other bodies. So think about that. Then making love is the absolute most beautiful thing two human spirits can do together. Mm-hmm. That we actually get to make love to each other. And we've been taught to be ashamed of that, when really that's the most sacred, most beautiful thing that we've been given as a gift to do.
Hey, we're taking this quick break so I can once again remind you to get the free gift we have for you that will allow you to determine which of the 5 romantic archetypes you are. When you know the type of person you are romantically, you can use that knowledge to create more romance, passion, and mind-blowing sex in your life. All you have to do is go to sex.maryblack.com. That's S-E-X dot Mary, M-A-R-R-Y, Black, B-L-A-C-K.com. Can you give one way, or gift to the listeners, one way in which they as women can stay passionate. I know that's a big challenge. I don't know if it occurs to those who are very young. You can tell me, young, in your 20s, but I see and I hear from our audience that women staying passionate into their 30s, their 40s, with the kids, their 50s, 60s, all that stuff can be a challenge. Do you have any one tip that you can give to folks that they can use?
Yeah, and that is to start to, be in your body and don't get so distracted by life. So, got kids, you've got a job, you've got everything, and we just get more and more and more, living life in survival mode, mm-hmm. stuck in our heads and leaving our bodies behind. So that's where I created a system called O Yoga, and that little mm-hmm. hip tilts we just did with the Kegel squeeze, that's one small part of it. But, they can find my O Yoga on my website, samathedora.com, mm-hmm. but they can also take a yoga class anywhere mm-hmm. or just stay in your body and make time for that, because that's what's going to keep you juicy and passionate. And it's easy to make excuses, once you get married, your sex drive's gone, or once you have kids, your sex drive's gone. But again, that comes from lack of information and disempowerment. I work with a lot of women who, had, after they have their kids, they didn't start doing those Kegel squeezes again. They didn't own their mm-hmm. vagina, mm-hmm. after you have kids. Mm-hmm. If you, and then it's so easy to let it go. They talk to other moms. Oh, that's just how it is. And we accept too easily, I think, defeat and disconnection from our bodies. And it's really, anybody can find a way to make at least 5 minutes, if not, an hour or even sometimes 90 minutes to be in your body every day, or at least three times a week. Get yourself to a yoga class, get yourself to a gym, get yourself to something to inhabit your body. Because if you don't, you're going to start to numb out. When you don't inhabit mm-hmm. your body, you just start to disconnect from the mind. And that will keep you passionate.
Mm-hmm.
And give yourself permission.
Yes.
I think that's
yes.
right. You want to be passionate? Give yourself yes. permission to be passionate.
You came to me highly recommended as a relationship guru, and I can hear that in your advice, because it is fantastic, and you blend it with the sex expert. Let me, it goes without saying that our audience, those who are with us, are here because they want clearly in on these best-kept secrets, which you have and you communicate so beautifully. Let me ask you a question for them. What advice do you have for the listeners who are having good sex, but they really want it to be mind-blowing, and they want to drive their partner wild? Instead of just having cold soup, which has become that, they want to get back. What advice do you have for them?
Oh, honey. that's a good problem to have. We say in life, that's a good problem to have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you're already having great sex, but you want to take it to the next level, and that was my issue, even though I came from a background with some sexual trauma, I still was very sexual. So I said there's mm-hmm. hyposexual, hypersexual women. And so for me, sexuality was just a place I could always kind of escape to, feel good. But when I learned Tantra, I went to this whole other level. I'd always been able to orgasm, but then I was able to have multiple orgasms and really connecting it mind, body, spirit. So, when you get that spirit connection with your sexuality, it's just so much deeper. It's like, I guess it's so good it's hard to describe, but what they can learn to do is just even that simple exercise I taught you from O Yoga with the hip mm-hmm. tilts and the Kegel squeeze. So the next time you're having sex, do that, ladies. So whatever position you're in, go to that deep breathing. So there's deep breathing, there's small hip tilts, and the Kegel squeeze. And time the Kegel squeeze with the breathing. That's another secret. A lot of women have... Then, their gynecologist says, squeeze your Kegel muscles, but it's mm-hmm. not in a deeper way. When you match your breath to those deeper micro squeezes, then it lights up a different area of your brain. And that's where you have that deeper, more spiritual tantric connection. It's really about connecting your sexuality to also just those the bigger brain centers for more pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like a simple thing, but I promise you it'll be just whole other level. And whether you're in missionary and you're underneath, or whether you're on top and cowgirl, and by the way, cowgirl is the number one position for women to learn how to control their pleasure, have multiple orgasms, have different kinds of orgasms, from clitoral orgasms to internal orgasms, to G-spot orgasms. Mm. And a lot of women I work with don't like cowgirls because they have body shame. So they'll just say, oh, I don't like how maybe my stomach doesn't look good or my breasts don't look good when I'm in cowgirl. So they're giving up, again, all this potential pleasure, worried about what, again, what somebody else thinks of them. So sex becomes about what the other person thinks they look like versus what feels good in their own bodies and what feels good in connection, sacred with another person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say, make sure you're not getting out, you know, again, don't get out of your head and spend so much time in your head worrying about, you know, what they think of you, what your body looks like. Do these internal squeezes and suddenly everything will start to come from what feels good to you inside. We call it your, you know, your mango. You gotta, when you do the O yoga squeezes, you're making your mango juicy.
Listen to you. And you know, you said O yoga. Now, you created O yoga, and the O is for orgasm, right?
Well, it's for whatever you want.
Whatever you want. Okay. And you mentioned that you've had, and I'm going to add, maybe you know the answer. You mentioned that you have it now, that you, with this process you have, that you have and other women you work with can have multiple orgasms. Is that correct?
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Okay. So now, great. So with that said, I know there are women listening who have never had an orgasm. And I know you, okay, great, okay. Any tip you have for those who have never had an orgasm, so ways they can experience real climax, real ecstasy in their sexual relations?
So the first thing I want to say is I can promise them that it's only maybe 1% or 2% who have a heart, have never orgasmed, that it would ever be anything really physical. So you have to understand your biggest sex organ is between your ears, not your legs.
Okay.
So, again, there's something that happened in your mind where you're taught to be ashamed of that sexuality or ashamed of letting go. So, you know, maybe, again, you grew up with some ideas of how you're supposed to behave. You've been, you know, told you have to be the good girl, but then hypersexualized on the outside. Mm-hmm. And so women are having all this sex to please other people, to catch a man, to do whatever, and not to actually enjoy having sex. It's like, don't have any sex you don't enjoy. Don't eat food you don't enjoy. Mm-hmm. Start to attune to yourself. So letting go of the taboo around sex, letting go of the shame, and learning to just relax. Because if you're able to relax enough, then the orgasm will be natural. And that can sound easier said than done, but I take with your process of that kind of deep breathing, learning to identify and let go when they became uncomfortable or ashamed around sex, and then disconnected and numbed out.
Mm-hmm.
And then really learning again how to re-inhabit their body. One of the things I teach is a feather light touch, so they can do that, the O yoga breathing and hip tilts I taught you, and then just staying with that really deep breathing, just lightly tracing your fingertips across your body as if it was just like the tip of a feather.
Mm-hmm.
And doing that until you start to feel kind of tingling and blood flow and pleasure on every area of your body being orgasmic. And also, especially your breath. So a lot of women who have a hard time orgasming, I'll have them work on just doing that feather light touch around their breasts, I mean their nipples, until they start to feel kind of turned on. And so developing a slower kind of form of foreplay with yourself or with a partner so that you do deep breathing and this feather light touch all over your body until you're kind of begging for more. Your body starts to beg or more, which is really different than most people are just trying to force something.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you know, so interesting what you're saying, because one of the pieces of advice that I give people in general when they're asking me how to do something, how to get over a hump here, how to do this, one of the things I advise people to do is, first of all, you know who you are and just do you, because I'm a big believer. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
And so much of what you're saying, you're allowing people to do themselves. Hey, listen, this is for you. It's okay. You know, don't let others cause you to be shamed. Don't let others cause you to lose your feelings around sexuality or your feelings around self-worth and all these things that happen. And very, very powerful stuff. I've got a couple more questions left, but let me touch on this for a second. Now, you mentioned something that's just rock me there. You talked earlier about finding the right partner and find the right person for them. How does your approach to sexuality allow a woman to find the right partner?
Well, so first of all, you know, we're not trying to like trick and catch a man. Mm-hmm. You know, so we got to get that. I think, you know, so many women, again, in a way that's disempowering, like they're tricking and catching a man, or we're, you know, taught, well, if you have sex too soon, you know, then they won't respect you. Mm-hmm. But there's no magic number. You know, there's no magic formula at the, you know, that you're tricking and catching them and getting what you want out of them, because that's a subtle manipulation. And then it just, the game is broken. You know, the game between men and women is so broken. And the roles that we're supposed to play are so much smaller than our spirits. And so I tell them, first of all, respect yourself. You know, take care of yourself. Don't try and get a man to pay your bills. Deal with your own security issues, you know, like, and really own yourself, so that when you are out there trying to find the right partner, you love yourself then, you feel secure in yourself. You're not trying to get a man as a band-aid to cover all these things in yourself. Because there's no amount, you know, of like, you know, shoes or houses or anything you're ever going to buy that's really going to fill up that space in you. And I tell women all the time, they're taught to play these games to catch a man. Well, what did you win in the end? You know, you won the man who, like, oh, he married you, you're the wife, you got a ring on your finger, but you know he's out cheating on you in the clubs. And believe me, I know, because they all come and talk to me. So, you know, it's like, be really careful what it is you think you want. Do you actually want respect? Do you actually want to love? And are you ready to love someone back? Because, again, it's all this, like, consumerism, you know, like, catch that man, like, going and buying something or getting them to buy you something, or what our ideas of respect are. You know, the respect isn't just that he, you know, he's willing to marry you and then go cheat on you, because, again, because we're all taught to lie to each other and play these roles and games. So I for me, I think we need a revolution, really, of, you know, we aren't living hundreds of years ago where women, if they aren't married, won't have their own money or ability to take care of themselves. But a lot of women still act like that. Like, subtly they have this. I did a workshop recently, and one woman said that. She's like, well, how many dates do I need to wait until I have sex with them? And she's like, because she was going to, you know, a spiritual program where they told her, you know, you have to value your vagina and you have to wait until they really, like, respect you. And I said, well, what does that mean to you? Because what I really hear is that you have a lot of unresolved issues in yourself. You know, and I could tell, I'm really good. I can read people really fast. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm going to read you. I said, I literally, spirit's telling me that you had a good man and you cheated on him because you're bored. And then you were hypersexual and then you felt guilty. So now you're trying to be the opposite and go be the good girl and wait a long time. And all these are just games, you know, like you're playing games for yourself before you ever get to even going and playing a game with men. And she's like, yeah. She's like, and the men can tell I'm playing a game. I'm like, yeah, that's not really satisfying. Yeah, you could win short term, but again, what'd you win? So I think my advice for women to find the right man is, you know, find the right yourself first. You know, don't go trying to find that person over your security issues, your money issues, your abandonment issues. Really handle loving yourself first. And then you will attract the right kind of person for the right kind of reasons.
Wow. You say what needs to be said. You're telling women the truth. I mean, it's like you're, in my opinion, you'll come at them straight on. You're having them own themselves, own the results, own the process, own the outcome. And I love that because it's healthy. I think it's mentally healthy and everything else. It would be clear to me that you probably find yourself sometimes in conversations after saying this, that women want to confront you and try to explain to you how that's really not what they're doing, right, when they really are. You see what I'm saying?
You know, they don't confront me. It's just if they're in one of my workshops and they start, you know, running their excuses and patterns. So, you know, luckily for me, it's like I'm engaging these conversations usually with people who paid to take a program and at least say they want to change. But that's where I confront them and I'm like, you know, you say you want to change, but most of you don't. You want to talk and talk and talk and bitch and moan and be the victim again. You know, and it's men's fault and it's this fault and this isn't any good, that isn't any good, da, da, da. You know, and it's like, when are you ready to actually make a change in yourself? And when are you ready to own your power, which also means, you know, owning your own responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes maybe you have to say no again to these bad situations that aren't feeding you the way that you want with intimacy or love. But also learning to get real about what real love is. Real love isn't a Hallmark card. Real love isn't somebody paying all your bills so you never have to worry about it. All those things will come with other costs. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, again, you've been sold all these Disney movies about what it's supposed to be like. But loving, really loving yourself and really being ready to love another person is a very different thing than what most of these women are coming to workshops saying they want. You know, they want the fairy tale and the guy who just loves them forever, never cheats on them, buys them everything they want. They get there, oh, I want my red bottom shoes. You know, it's like, that's, you know, that is not being ready to really love another person either. So until you get to the root of these intimacy blocks in yourself, then, you know, you're not going to be able to attract the right person or love the other person right.
You know something, so I cannot say that you are a genius. What I can say, for sure, is that your message, your words, your advice is genius. And I guess that
thank
was
you.
Really, really powerful. I mean, really powerful stuff. And I am glad that we can get this out there. Let me ask you this question. We'll go from that to this. Are there any foods that are 2 to 3 foods that you know of that can help improve sex life?
Yes. So one thing that I really like to, and nutrition is very important. So let me just back this up for a minute by saying, you know, I grew up, again, going a much stronger version, but, you know, in church. And I remember a lot of the women in church who weren't, you know, getting, you know, it was like, well, they were disconnected from the body sexually, but they were using that pleasure from food in a way that their, you know, their bodies weren't that healthy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were taught, well, you know what? This lifetime's short and you're going to live forever in heaven. And so you don't need to really take care of your body in that way. Or if you're getting health problems, diabetes, you know, these other problems, it's like they're praying about it, but it's like, you know what, you need to just stop putting that wrong food in your mouth
wait a minute. I almost want to drop to my knees now. It, you're unbelievable. No, you're almost, because you're hitting it. I mean, you're hitting it.
No, well, so, that's something. How many people are standing around and they're like, oh, I want a different kind of man and I want to love my body. And here's some truth. You know, and they may come for me for this, but I'm all for women loving your own bodies. But when you say, I love my curves, do you love your curves or do you love that ice cream you're eating at midnight when no one's around? Because if you love your body, you're going to take your body to the gym and you're going to keep it healthy and you're going to put food in your mouth that's the right kind of food in your mouth. And sometimes you think that, you know, what you're, you know, that you're not putting something else in your mouth. But you're putting that ice cream in your mouth.
Oh my!
You got to be really, really careful and real with yourself. If you love your body, then step one, like I said, own your body and stop making excuses and don't hang out with people who help you make those excuses. You know, don't hang out with your girlfriends about, you know, loving your body when you know you're not doing what you can to take care of it. Really loving yourself is not making excuses. It's actually taking this action to respect yourself. And respect comes with discipline.
You know, this may be the let's use the term.
They're gonna come for me for that.
Yeah, I know. This may be the realest, to use that word, the realest interview I've ever done. Because honestly, I agree with you. So if they're mad at you, they're mad at me. But you're saying it. You come from it. You've been through it. This is what you specialize.
I've been 30 pounds overweight. You know, laying on a couch and a single mom and not. You know, not being happy. And it was disempowering. And I had friends who'd be like, oh, it's great. Or, you know, you're okay. But it wasn't okay.
Right.
You know, what was sad, and I'm not coming for people. I'm like, it's that you haven't, you know, you've been trained to disconnect from yourself and your body. And you need to reconnect that. And when you do, then you'll have true respect, true love for your body. You'll take care of it. And you'll demand that other people respect it the way that you do. But if you don't respect your body, you don't keep it fit, you don't treat it like a temple, then no one else is either.
Wow. Wow. Now, for those that are mad, let me give them a reason to be happy. Okay? So first of all, you got to go to the website, somisadora.com, and Old Yoga, just search Old Yoga, you can find that one. But let me, before you all get really mad and lose your mind, let's come back with what will be my final question around this area, unless you spark something else, and that is, you've said that for women, there are ways they can have the most amazing orgasm. You have tips for having their best orgasm. Can you give me at least one or two of those tips you have for having an amazing orgasm?
Yes, and so I don't want to confuse everybody on this call with too many different tips. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to keep it where we had it, where
okay.
I want them to start adding those hip tilts, the Kegel squeeze,
mm-hmm.
and then that breathing at the same time. So you kind of inhale, and when you exhale, you do the squeeze, inhale, relax the Kegels, exhale, squeeze. Mm-hmm. Now do that on your own to own your own body, your own pleasure. I mean, here's a question. How many of your listeners masturbate? You know, there's another big
yep.
taboo. So if you don't know what feels good in your own body and you're ashamed of that, you're probably not very comfortable in your body when you make love with your partner. And again, then you're going to be thinking about what they want or what your body looks like and everything except what actually feels good. So if they haven't learned how to tap into their own pleasure, I'd say if you want to have great orgasms, and part of owning that is actually learning how your own body likes to respond. Every woman's different, but we all have something I call your orgasm triggers. So, for example, your clitoris has over 8,000 nerve endings, which is twice as many as a penis. Mm. And there's another big thing. Like, women have mostly been taught men, they're like, oh, men are more sexual than women. Actually, women's bodies are wired to have more pleasure than men, and women can have multiple orgasms and men can't.
What does that tell you?
As
an expert for men, I can tell you that is true. Yes, that would be.
Yeah. But what does that tell you? That tells you
the way
that our bodies were designed.
Yes.
Is for
yes.
women to have more pleasure in their bodies than actually men, and maybe that's so scary that everybody had to tell us, you know, that we weren't sexual and don't touch your body and don't connect your body, because it was so scary the amount of pleasure a woman's actually wired, you know, by God to have in your body.
Well, you know,
that
it's about
unclaimed.
You're right. And one reason we wouldn't be told that or have that encouraged, you women encouraged, is because if the truth is that women have more pleasure centers, more nerve endings in the vagina than a man has in his penis, if the truth is that self ownership is the way to go, ownership of a lot of aspects of your life is the way to go, being choiceful and making decisions is the way to go. It takes control away from men. Then it's not about
right. Well, and guess what? Oh my! What would be the most dangerous thing? A free woman.
I know.
And
I
guess
know.
What it takes to be a free woman is tapping into your own sexual energy, because
exactly.
of the heart and core of being a woman is your sexuality. I would tell women, I'm like, step. You know, ground zero for women's empowerment is your own vagina, because
mm-hmm.
that's what makes you a woman. So how are you going to be fully empowered or be free if you haven't tapped into that? So, and think about why you haven't been given permission. It's mm-hmm. control.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you're right. And since through history, it's all about control and control. And it's not a religious talk, but I've always been puzzled by the thought that, okay, we have to have a woman and she has to be covered, as you said, in that community where from her neck to her feet, I don't get that other than it's control. There's no other purpose for that.
Well, and let me tell you where that one comes from, that
mm-hmm.
myth, is that we're taught as women, this is, and I was told this directly, and we're, you know, like, men can't control themselves, so it's up to you. And so they say, so you need to cover yourself. It's how you dress. It's how you behave. It's what you say. But I will tell you right now, and somebody told me, someone recently on Facebook, and they're like, oh, well, that would be nice, Sam, if we lived in a different kind of world. And I said, I'm going to tell you, in the world we live in right now, in the cultures where women are the most covered, we have the most sexual violence and abuse.
Yes.
And the cultures where women walk around with less clothing on, there's less sexual violence and abuse. So it's a myth that everybody's bought into and keeps repeating that simply isn't true, even in the world we're living in now.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I think it's very condescending to men to expect so little of them that they can't learn to control their, you know, because I said, can you imagine the kind of world we lived in if men were taught to train their dicks instead of women were told to cover their bodies?
Mm-hmm.
And what really it does is it raises a culture where there's an excuse for men when they do act out on that sexual violence.
It's
always says, she wore this, she did that. Oh, she had sex with somebody else before. She's like that. She asked for it. Mm-hmm. And we've created that and we repeat it. And women are subconsciously recreating and repatterning that and repeating untrue myths about that kind of sexuality. And I think that we women can be more grown up around our sexuality and men can learn to be more grown up around their sexuality. And we could really change the world we live in to be a more positive place.
Have you taught this to your son?
I have taught this to my son, and my son is very respectful with women. You know, because, and then if anything, my son, he's always like, oh, I can't, oh, the women are too sexual. he's like, oh, man, like he's had the opposite upbringing of a lot of guys. But because of that, I think he just understands and respects women as being very powerful because he's been around women who've been learning to be more free.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Wow. Powerful. Well, Song, this has been a remarkable conversation, and I feel as if you've had this conversation with women around the country and around the world via this show today, and I want to thank you so much for your time. Tell me again, where can our audience connect with you?
They can follow me at Psalm Isadora, and that's Psalm like in the Bible, PsalmIsadora. Follow me at Psalm Isadora on Snapchat, on Twitter, on Instagram, psalmisadora.com.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you so much for the time you've given us today.
Yeah.
Continue success. Keep pushing the message. You're going to help so many people, and I was thrilled to have the time with you. Thank you so much, Psalm.
Yeah, thank you.
All righty. One final reminder, make sure you sign up to get the free gift to find out which of the five romantic archetypes you are and how you can use that knowledge, the knowledge about yourself, to create for yourself more passion, lots more passion, more romance, lots more romance, and more mind-blowing sex in your life. Just go to sex.maryblack.com. That's sex.mary, M-A-R-R-Y, black, B-L-A-C-K.com. Thank you for listening to the Tantric Sex Secrets for Black Women on the MaryBlack.com show. I'm Daryl Mobley, and my guest today was Psalm Isadora.